All right, so we are continuing our series on extravagant generosity. I have good news for you this morning. You only have to listen to me for a few minutes, and then my wife is going to come up, and she's going to deliver the lion's share of the teaching this morning. So yeah, you can get excited about that. So a couple months ago when we went on sabbatical, which, side note, thank you so much to all of you as a church for not just supporting us to take a sabbatical, but really blessing us to go do that. We felt the love and the support from this church, and it was awesome. So thank you so much for that. One of the pieces of our sabbatical when we were gone, what we did was we took Carrie and I got away, just the two of us. And when we were starting to plan our vacation, one of her brothers, she has five brothers, got in touch with us and said, hey, me and my wife are going to be gone. Our house is going to be totally empty, and so you can vacation on the cheap and just come and stay at our house and use our vehicles. And what's better than vacation? A cheap vacation, right? So we were really excited about that. So we flew in and then just took an Uber from the airport to their house. And they have money. They are wealthy people. They live in this gated community. This house that they live in is amazing. And so from the minute we got there, it was like you get a security code to get into this gated community, and then you can get into this house. And then they're like, hey, you know, any of our vehicles you can drive, and they were all awesome, and we could just drive them around the city, and we're walking, like they have this sweet pool area, and this whole house we were just walking around. I'm sort of like, I don't feel like I belong here. I feel like I'm worried I'm going to break things. You know what I mean? That was the kind of place that it was. And then on top of it, when we got in, he and his wife are just incredibly generous. And not only did they open up their home to us, but there was a gift basket that was there for us. And it had all these gift cards for meals while we were there. And it was all this like variety of restaurants. And it was everything from like normal restaurants all the way to, they had gift cards in there for this steakhouse that, for real, Carrie and I did not belong there. Like, we walked in and we were just going, oh my goodness, you know. I will probably never eat in a steakhouse like that again. I never had before that. It was amazing. So we're in this spot, and it was like really easy for us to look at that and go, I have absolutely nothing to do with the good stuff that I'm experiencing in that moment, right? I'm not paying the mortgage. I don't own that car. I didn't even pay for those meals. They were all being paid for by somebody else. It was really easy for me to make that connection that this has nothing to do with me and what I've earned and what I've done. But then when you step back into normal life for all of us, that's a little bit tougher for us to realize that it's not the work of our hands. We get a paycheck and we know the hours that we put in or the work that we did to earn that paycheck. We lay our head on our pillow at night and we know what our mortgage payment is, right? I mean, we work towards those things, but the reality is that we're supposed to view our stuff the way that Carrie and I viewed it when we were on vacation in her brother and sister-in-law's home. That it's all a blessing that's been given to us and we don't have anything to do with it. Sure, we work and all that stuff, but we need to recognize that everything that we have is from God's hand. And so God gave instruction to us through Moses. Moses was speaking to the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy 16, starting in verse 15. And he speaks to this issue because he knows, God knew that we would have a hard time thinking that we own our stuff, that it's because of what we've done, okay? And so this is what Moses says about this. He says, for it is he, speaking about God, for it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvests and gives you success in all your work. And what's happening here is Moses is giving instructions. So the nation of Israel, they were slaves in Egypt, and then they were delivered up out of slavery, and they were heading into the promised land. And they had wandered through the desert and lived in tents, and they were just getting ready to cross into the promised land where they would have permanent homes, and they would be planting crops, and they would be harvesting all of, you know, all of this goodness. And Moses was putting in place some practices that they needed to have to make sure that they kept the proper perspective. And one of those practices was, it was a festival or a feast called the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths or Shelters. They went by different names. But what it was at the end of harvest. So after they had harvested all of these crops and their barns were full and everything was good, that they were to take 7 days and they were supposed to live basically in tents. And they would live in tents for 7 days, celebrating all the goodness that God had done, remembering that they were living in tents, wandering in the wilderness for a long time, but now they're not. And so he's saying, listen, You've just harvested all this stuff, and you're going to live in these tents for a little while, and you're doing it to remind yourself that it is He who blesses you with bountiful harvest and gives you success in all your work. And we're in this series about extravagant generosity, and we have to start from this place. If we're going to be extravagantly generous people, we have to start from this place of understanding that everything that I have is actually from God. He's the source. All the good that's in my life, every bit of knowledge or skill, every bit of favor that you've had to get where you are, every breath that's in our lungs, it comes from God, all of it. And so then Moses builds on what he says, and he says, and all must give. So in light of the fact that it's He who blesses you, all must give as they are able, according to the blessings given to them by the Lord your God. It starts with this heart posture for us. And then we're, like we talked about in the past couple weeks, we're going to be intentional about flipping the script on the way, not just that we think about our resources, but the way that we use them. We don't live like the rest of the world does. We're going to be measured, okay? We're going to have a plan. We're going to know how much we're giving. We're going to pray, settle on a percent, right? That's the way that it's going to go. And this final week that Carrie's going to hit on right now is that when we're dealing with extravagant generosity, that extravagant generosity is supposed to be growing in our lives. And it's not just the facts and figures, it's not just the percents and the numbers that are supposed to be growing, but it's something, there's more to it that's supposed to be growing in our lives as we live out extravagantly generous lives. And with that, I back away.
When we talk about this whole topic of giving generously, as Jeff has stated throughout this series, it is a matter of the heart. It's much deeper. Like he said, this issue is a heart issue. And in Mark 12, Jesus was teaching in the temple, and some teachers of the law came around, and some Pharisees, and he's teaching. And one of the teachers asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" Because, like Jeff read in Deuteronomy, that's kind of what everything was centered around of these. In religion back then was commands of this is how you live, this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and these are all the commands and statutes. And this was really put in place so that the people of Israel could live in the presence of a holy God. And Jesus comes on the scene, and he is asked this question, well, of all these commands, which is the greatest command? And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Then he goes over to an area of the temple where the collection's being taken up, where it's the treasury. And he watches all these people come and bring their gifts and drop them off in the collection. And this is what it says in Mark 12. He makes some observations here. Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions, for they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. So you see these rich people come in and they give a tiny part of their surplus. That means they basically gave a tiny bit of their leftovers, but she gave everything. And there's some things growing in this passage. And for these rich people, what was growing was their pride or their greed. And they came in, maybe it was a ritual that they came in. And each week they'd put their money in. And it was just something that they did. And they were just used to it. And maybe they were thinking, hey, I'm going to put this large sum in. Look at me. Everyone's going to think I'm great. But it was a tiny bit of their surplus. And then in contrast, you see a couple small coins, and Jesus says, she's given the most. And I'm sure no building is being built with this widow's name on it or any name plaques on it, but Jesus said she gave the most because it's a matter of the heart. What was growing in her is her faith. She stepped out in faith and said, I trust you. You are my source. So when we talk about this extravagant generosity and that it should be growing, it's really a matter of our faith growing, our trust growing. So several years ago, when Jeff and I were newly married, We were starting out in ministry, and we were living in New Mexico on the Navajo Indian Reservation. And God had called us to start a discipleship program for Native Americans to train and equip and disciple. And so at the time, the church couldn't afford to pay us. So we were working other jobs and kind of doing ministry on the side and trying to juggle both. And after a few months of this, Jeff and I both felt like God was saying to quit these other jobs and go full-time in the work that he called us to. So we're like, all right, well, we'll just go on kind of like missionary status and we'll write support letters and raise funds. And God said, no, you won't. I'm like, okay, what's the other option? I think that's how people do this. And God had called us to go on this journey of faith. We weren't going to announce what we were doing. We were just going to trust him. And big side note, was we were expecting our first child. So that's awesome timing. So we step out, and Jeff's laughing because he can remember this very clearly. So we step out on this faith journey. And for the next 9 months, it was amazing to see God work and his faithfulness. We never went without food. We had a roof over our head. We had gas in our car. We went all over the country promoting and recruiting and getting our program started, and we never were in want. God provided every time, and I wish I could stay here all day and tell you story after story after story of God's provision. I was preparing this message, and Jeff came in several times as I'm just sitting there weeping, going, do you remember when this happened and when this happened? Just remembering God's faithfulness, because it was amazing. And this is a side note too. When God does something in your life, when God provides in some way or shows up in some way, write it down, journal it. You want to remember those things. You want to go back 15 years later and go, remember when God did that? That builds your faith when you recall those things. That was free. This whole thing's free. So we would drive to these places, and we feel like God would call us to, you know, go to this certain reservation or this certain city, and often we'd go there with just enough money to get there, and we had no idea how we were going to get back. And we were responsible people. We're not just like, I don't know. We live within our means. We just didn't budget it. We literally like, okay, God, you're calling us here, but the numbers don't add up here. Okay, we're gonna trust you. And I guess we were going, okay, God's will, God's bill, I guess. All right, we'll just do this. So I remember one time we went to this place and at a conference, and again, just had enough money to get there. And we had these T-shirts that we were selling for our program, and so we sold a few of those. And then this girl comes up to us, this 19-year-old girl, and goes, oh my gosh, you guys are here. I can't believe you're here. And we're like, we don't know you. She goes, I saw you at a conference in February, and this was April. And she said, God told me to give you money, and I disobeyed. And I can't believe you guys are here. And she reached in her pocket, and she said, here, I'm supposed to give you this. Awesome. And that, with the T-shirt money, was enough to get us home. It was stuff like this happened all the time. So on one of these trips, we're driving home, and we're driving through Albuquerque, and our car tire and our little silver two-door Nissan blew out on the highway. Thankfully, it was in rush hour traffic right as traffic was coming to a stop. And also, thankfully, it was right near an exit where there was a discount tire store right on the corner. I know. So we pull off onto the exit, pull off onto the tire, have them take a look at our tires, and not only was that tire blown, but the other three tires were all bald. And this would normally be a point where you insert freak-out mode right here, but we were just given a check earlier that week from my cousin and her husband, Dwayne and Rebecca. And they sent us a check for several $100s. And during this time, too, we felt like we were supposed to give off of everything that was given to us. So any money that would come in, just people sending checks or rebate checks or whatever, all the other crazy ways, we would tithe a certain amount that we felt like God was calling us to tithe, which was more than we normally would had been tithing. And so we had given off of that check, and then we had a certain amount of money, and we find out from the tire place, okay, well, if you buy four tires with this discount, this is the amount. And it was the exact amount after we gave that my cousin and her husband just gave us that week. Things like, so here's what was going on behind the scenes. I can just imagine this with the Holy Spirit, okay? So the Holy Spirit's like, okay, I want to do this faith work in Jeff and Carrie. So Dwayne and Rebecca, I'm going to have you give a certain amount. Because actually, what I'm calling you to is a life of generosity. But I got to test you first. So I'm going to see, I need you to release these funds to them. I'm going to do something in them and in you at the same time. Watch, this is going to be awesome, okay? Ready? Release those funds. Tires. Boom. Isn't that awesome? I can just imagine the Holy Spirit doing that. And that is what he does in our lives. He's up to something beyond the surface of what we can see, touch, feel. He's doing this work. And so when we talk about growing in our extravagant giving, it's a growing in our faith. It's a growing in all sorts of areas of trust and obedience. Now, fast forward 15 years later, I sat down at a wedding with my cousin Rebecca a few weeks ago, and we're catching up and talking about our families, and I'm asking her about her husband's business and if she works there, and she's like, yeah, actually, it's going really well, and I just started working there. We've just started a benevolence arm of our business. And I said, really? Well, tell me about it. So, and she gave me permission to share this morning. But she said, well, it was kind of out of necessity. We have this passion for fighting human trafficking. And this last year, we gave $2.2 million to fight human trafficking. Awesome. And then my husband's business partner really has a burden for church planting. So we gave $2.2 million to church planting. And this year, we're going to be able to give $2.5 million in each of those areas again. $5 million for gospel causes. $5 million from a small business. Listen, if God can trust you with little, he can trust you with larger. If you can't be trusted with little, he won't trust you with larger. God could trust that widow with the two coins. Think about that. He can trust you with little. He's gonna extend your reach. He's gonna further what he can do through you. It says it in Luke. I'm getting there, guys. It says it in Luke somewhere, guys, I promise. Luke 16, thank you. Oh, it's up there. You guys are way ahead of me. You're like, look behind you. Psst. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in larger ones. Listen, my journey isn't your journey, and your journey isn't my journey. Just like Jeff said a couple weeks ago, God doesn't call everyone to sell everything they have and give to the poor. But he did call the rich young ruler to do that, because the rich young ruler had an area that he needed to grow in. God doesn't call everyone to quit their jobs and to live in faith, but he did call us to do that for a season because he had an area that we needed to grow in. It's a matter of taking that step, stepping out in obedience, living your lives with open-handed, where you go, my life is not my own. See, if you hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, you're going to keep it, because he's got stuff far greater than you could ever imagine, than you ever have planned. It takes that step sometimes, though. It takes that step of obedience. A lot of you know the story in the Old Testament with when God led the people out of Egypt as slaves and with Moses, and the Red Sea was parted. Well, there's another time 40 years later when God moved the waters again for the Israelites. And this is right before God led the people into the promised land. And it's Moses had died and Joshua was taking his place. And they had to cross this river, the Jordan River, in order to get over. And at this time, when God was like, okay, it's time. This is the time of year where it was the harvest season, where there were floodwaters, where the banks of the Jordan were overflowing. We're going to read about it in just in Joshua chapter 3. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its bank. Listen to this part. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed on to the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. The waters backed up nearly 20 miles in this story. And it happened as soon as the Levite priests took a step of faith into these waters. These waters that were flood waters. These waters that there is no reason why, no possible way that they could, on their own human strength, cross over into these waters. No way. And they took a step of faith and said, I trust you, God. And immediately, the waters dried up. Sometimes God is waiting for us to display our trust so he can display his power. But it takes that step of obedience. It takes that life of faith. Back to our story 15 years ago. I wish I could say that we were just full of faith all the time and we never doubted and that we trusted God the whole time and we said, we're going to do this and God, you're going to provide and I believe it. But unfortunately, we worried. We worried and then we're like, I don't know, this bill's coming in. How is this going to happen? And then God would say, trust me. We'd take a step. He would provide, and we'd go, oh, God, you're awesome. And then we'd walk around with faith and be like, God is awesome, and he provides. And then a bill would come, and we're like, I don't know, how are we going to pay this? And then God would, what? Trust me. We'd take a step. He provided, and we could say, God, you're awesome again. Rinse and repeat. This happened over and over again. Sometimes it just takes taking that step out. One time, I got to tell you the story. One time we were on this missions trip with our church during this season. And we went to Mexico. And when we showed up at the church, there was a couple that wanted to go on the trip, but they couldn't afford to go. They didn't have the money to drive down. And we had $232 on us. And we felt like God said, give it. I'm like, all of it? Yes. So we gave them our $232. And then when we got back from the missions trip, we got into our home, and we had a small group that met in our home of young adults, and we gave them a key, so while we were gone, they could still meet in our home, and which was sometimes awesome, and because we'd find things in our house. And that night when we came home, it was late, and I went into the bathroom, and I pulled open the shower curtain, and there was Easter grass filled into the bathtub, which is also awesome when you find that. And there were Easter eggs all over the bathtub. And again, I was pregnant, so I was like, ooh, I wonder if there's candy in there. So I opened up an Easter egg, and it wasn't candy, it was money. And I'm like, what? I start opening up more money in all of them. And we find them all hidden all around our house, like dollars and fives and all this stuff. And I'm like, Jeff, get in here. And we're having this Easter egg hunt, the best Easter egg hunt ever, all around our house. And so we get all our cash and we count it all out. Guess how much? You can't make this stuff up. $232. I guess you can make it up, but you'd be a liar. For real, though. It was like God was saying, you can't outgive me. Trust me. Open-handed. I'm going to be faithful. I mean, it's what we sang this morning. He is faithful. His promises are true. They're yes and amen. We just got to take that step and trust and obey. In Matthew chapter 6, it says this. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon was a king who was one of the wealthiest kings of all time. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Maybe this morning, your obstacle to a life of generosity is trust. Maybe you have a lack of trust. Maybe you say with your mouth, I trust God, but you have an anxious heart. Are you living like you're the source? Like that verse that Jeff read at the very beginning in Deuteronomy, where it says, For it is he who blesses you with bountiful harvests and gives you success in all your work. Are you living like it's up to you? Like it's you. You are the resource. And that'd make me anxious too. It felt like I have to produce this. I have to achieve this. It's from my hand. But God's saying, no, all of this, your knowledge, your skill, your success, your resources, it's all from my hand. In verse 33, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Seek first the kingdom of God. God is up to things we can't see. Our job is obedience, to trust and to obey, because he's moving throughout what we can touch and see and feel. He's doing things, and he's advancing his kingdom, and he uses us. And he uses you to bless you so your faith can grow, so you can be a blessing there, so we can further our kingdom out there, right? So what does it look like to seek the kingdom of God first in the area of our finances? Remember what we opened the series with, the pumpkin seeds, for those of you who are here. God has given us a certain amount of seeds, a certain amount of resources. And he shows us places where we should plant and places that are fertile ground. And so we're going to give you some practical steps today of how you can seek God with your resources, how you can seek God and see where's that fertile soil that God wants me to plant these resources. And the first one today is you need to have a plan for how you're going to support your local church. If you call CLF your home, then you are a part of the mission that God has given this local body to equip and mobilize and reach this community. And so you need to support your local church and what God is doing through this body. And I think about the last 38 years that CLF has been planted. And it is such a blessing to be able to sit here and enjoy the benefits and the blessings of years of faithful giving and sacrifices. And some of you were there back from the beginning, and some of us have been here for a shorter amount of time. Some of us are just reaping the benefits of the faithful sacrifices. People that have poured into the missions and the ministries of this church to further God's kingdom in this area. And so when you support the local church, You are, it needs to be a measured, a consistent amount. Some people call it a tithe, but something that's not based on whims or feelings, but something that is a faithful, consistent amount that you pray about how much that is. And if you are, that's already discipline for you and you already have that, then that's when you go, okay, God, this is open-handed. Do I need to revisit that? Do I need to increase that? And the second thing is missions, gospel causes. So I want to give you a few numbers this morning. We're talking more numbers than we usually do around here. But I think it's important for you to hear some of this stuff. It's important for you to know where your money goes. And when you give to missions at CLF, I want you to know where that goes to. We support ministries and missionaries locally and regionally and globally. And I want to give you some numbers to what that looks like here. So we support 52 missionaries. We support 7 organizations that are gospel causes. These missionaries and organizations are in 33 different countries. We support 5 college campus ministries. The total amount last year that was given in missions is $175,021. That is nearly 20% of our annual budget. So nearly 20% of our annual budget that comes into CLF goes out to fund ministries and missionaries outside of CLF. I'm telling you all this because you need to know the DNA of CLF, that this has been, since its inception, this has been the heart and the DNA of our church. Typically, we have the plaques like shoved in a drawer somewhere just because we don't care about plaques. But you guys need to know this. Typically, we're one of the top 5 churches in our district in Wisconsin and Northern Michigan in the Assemblies of God for missions giving. And that is because you, CLF, cares deeply for furthering God's kingdom here and beyond. We take very seriously the Great Commission. And so that's the second way that you can be a part of what God is doing is when you give to the missions at CLF. Now, third way is when a need or an opportunity comes up that grips your heart, ask the Lord about it and then obey with the number that he says. In that season that I was telling you about, I saved letters and cards that were sent to us by people who just felt like they were supposed to give to us. And I have one from Don and Karen Gass who go to this church, and we did not know them. They didn't know us. They just felt like God was calling them to give us some money during that time. And I kept it. I went through it and saw it, and I thought, how cool is that? Little did they know that someday we'd be their pastors. But God used them to increase our faith in that season. So pray about it and obey. And the fourth is practice generosity. Some of you, you have the gift of generosity. It comes naturally because God's giving you that gift. My dad's one of those people. When I was a kid, I'd ask for $5 and he'd give me 10. When my kids ask for $5, I give them 2 and I ask for change back. So I have to practice generosity. So maybe for you, it's paying for the person behind you in line at the drive-thru, or giving your kids $5 when they ask for 2. You know, whatever it is, practice generosity. When someone asks you to go 1 mile, we go 2. It's biblical principle. Is practice that. Practice what doesn't come naturally. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 15, it says, "Instead, we hope that your faith will grow, so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places far beyond you, where no one else is working." See, God wants to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. He wants to increase the borders and the boundaries. But our faith needs to grow. Our trust needs to grow. We need to trust God that he is going to meet our needs, provide, and we just obey. And so we need that faith to grow so that we can be a part of furthering his kingdom throughout the world. We're all in this together. As we wrap up this series on extravagant generosity, think about the areas that you need to grow in. Giving, compassion, love, all for his kingdom, all for his namesake.
Yeah. All right, so a couple practical things. So she's talking about that we need to grow in our extravagant generosity. For you, for you to be growing in generosity, maybe that step is, you know, you're not giving and you're not doing it consistently. It's not measured, you know, it's not intentional. And so maybe for you to grow in generosity is to start that. It's to pray, it's to ask God to give you a number, it's to work through that process of surrender and making it a discipline where it's something that you do on a regular basis. Or maybe you've been doing that for a long, long time, and for you to grow in your generosity means you're just coming back to it and saying, God, yeah, this has been a discipline for some time now, but I'm coming back to you just saying, what do you want this to look like right now in this season? Do we need to revisit this? And that's what that looks like for you to grow. We're going to practice this right now. So we didn't give you a heads up that we're doing this, but unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know what's been going on with Hurricane Harvey and all the issues in southern Texas. And, I mean, you know, just catastrophic flooding, damage, horrible stuff on a level that we haven't seen in our country in a long, 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 long time. And so we have an organization that we partner with on a regular basis called Convoy of Hope. We're going to take up an offering this morning, in case you didn't know that that's where I was going. So we didn't tell you you're going to do this, but whatever you got this morning to put in, let's give the best that we have to give this morning. We're going to take up an offering. It's going to go to Convoy of Hope. We support them on a regular basis anyways. That's part of that missions giving that we do as a church. And so it was really cool to hear as the storm was preparing to hit. It hadn't even hit yet. Convoy of Hope was already mobile because of regular kinds of giving, which we do as a church. They were able to already be mobilizing multiple semi-trailer loads full of food and water and hygiene, you know, supplies to get down. They set up distribution centers before the storm even hit. They were mobilizing the local church to be ready to meet those needs. So they're already on the ground providing needs. Now they're just looking for a cash infusion to help them to be able to continue to do what they've been doing and to actually build on that. And so that's what this offering is going to go towards. So we're going to take up an offering. Every penny that goes in here this morning is going to go towards Convoy of Hope's fund to provide relief for Hurricane Harvey. And then you can write out a check. If you write a check, write it out to CLF, and then we'll mobilize one check that's going to go out to that fund. You can also give online. If you're sitting here going, I don't have any cash on me, but I want to give. As always, you can give online. You can do that for any of our offerings. Just go on our website. There's a button for giving, and there's a drop-down tab that'll give you an option on how to designate it, and I think it's a special offering. If you just click special offering this week, and then give online this week under the heading a special offering, all that money will go towards Convoy of Hope. So guys, why don't you come on down and let's pray together, okay? And we're going to pray for a couple things. Let's pray first of all for the victims of this hurricane, that this money will be mobilized to meet physical needs, but that it will be mobilized to meet spiritual needs. That's part of the beauty of Convoy of Hope, as they work through the local church. And so as we're giving, and as we're giving like real tangible needs that people have, we're giving to meet those needs. They're also hearing the gospel. They're seeing that as the love of God being extended to them, which is really powerful. So let's pray for physical needs to be met. Let's pray for spiritual needs to be met in the middle of this tragedy. And then let's ask God to shape us into the kinds of men and women that we will be a movement of people who, God, we hold it all with an open hand, and that we can walk out this extravagant generosity that he's calling us to. Will you agree with me in prayer? God, we pray this morning for all those whose lives have been impacted by this devastation, by the catastrophe in southern Texas. God, we pray this morning that your spirit would be in that place. We know that you're there, but we ask that you would move in some tangible ways. Lord, we ask that your presence would be felt by people that are suffering this morning. Lord, we ask that you would, if there are people that need to be rescued and out of harm's way, would you put people in their path? Would you bring people along their path to rescue them, to get them out of dangerous places? God, if there are people that have physical needs that need to be met, God, we ask that you would meet those needs, that you'd give them the food that they need, that you'd give them the clean drinking water that they need, that you'd give them what it is that they need, the shelter over their heads. And God, we pray in all of it that as we place money in this offering this morning, that you would mobilize it to meet not only the physical needs, but God, would you, God, we're asking for them to know that it is your love that's moving in their life as they receive food and as they receive water. God, draw them to yourself, that as the landscape of their physical lives has been transformed in a negative way, God, if you can break in and cause the landscape of their spiritual lives to be transformed for the good in the middle of all of this, God, cause your glory to break out in places where it doesn't seem possible for that to happen. And God, as we give this morning, and as we practice generosity, would you shape us into a movement of people who are releasing our resources, who are releasing our very lives to you to do with what you want. And we pray that in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.